Habakkuk 2. I'm going to read verse 2 to 3 and then 17 to 20. It goes like this. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it on plain tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks to the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. 17 to 20. The violence you have done, it's talking about the Babylonians and all that. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed human blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Of what value is an idol carved by craftsmen or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Now, I want you to recognize this morning that God is always doing something. God is always working, and while his work might seem slow to us, God will, and in his own time and own ways, fulfill his word. As we wait on God to faithfully fulfill what he said he's going to do, we must put our trust and our confidence in him and not rely on our own understanding. We struggle with this. We struggle with our own understanding. Have you tried to wrap your mind around God, wrap your mind around faith? These are difficult things. And in our scripture today, we read God's second response to Habakkuk. And in it, we see some vital principles of God at work in here. And I want to just name some of them for you. And this is just as one of many scriptures, one of many books that shows his character and shows what he's like. But first, I want to explain to you this morning that it shows that God wants to comfort his people. God begins to talk to the prophet to clearly write down on a tablet the response that God is about to say and about to give him. God is saying in this scripture that Babylon is going to overtake them, but also God will deal with Babylon, with the enemy. But no matter what, this is going to happen. So God wants to comfort his people, but in that he's saying, this is going to happen, and you're going to go through it, but at the end of it, I will be with you through it all, and I'll be there at the end. So he wants to comfort his people. Secondly, God does not always act immediately. Another reason that Habakkuk has to write this down is because God's answer is not going to take place right now. It's not going to take place immediately, but sometime in the future. And in chapter 2, verse 3, it says, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. God is showing the prophet that because God answers prayer, it does not mean he answers them immediately or that rescue is taking place right now. Remember what we said last time. We said that God either says when we're praying, he either says yes, he either says no, or he says wait. And we don't really love that. That's not our favorite response. And so God doesn't always act immediately in our life. Thirdly, God's word is true and it will come about. So he declares this, he says in this, in the same verse 3, he said, it hastens to the end, it will not lie. That is, the promises and the plans that God has put forth will happen. We just don't know when. We don't know how, but they will come and they will be complete. There's no deception in God's words because Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 declares, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. So why would you need a shield if God is going to do it immediately? You need the shield because things are going to happen, and he's going to protect you. But what that looks like, we don't know. Fourthly, God wants us to be patient and wait. Have you ever thought maybe you needed more patience? Have you ever prayed for patience? Don't. I would suggest you figure it out on your own. When I was growing up, at the same time we would need food, and whenever my mom would get some money, she would go shopping. And we had this car. She got it out of the divorce, and it was a nice car in its time, but it got old, and things broke. Back in the day, the Oldsmobile, it was an expensive car to fix, and it broke down. So what happens when you have no car and you need groceries and you can't afford a taxi? You walk, because there were no buses. We're talking old school here, people. You couldn't just take a bus down the street. You had to take it from here to Chilliwack. I don't know. Anyways, my dad was a bus driver. I don't want to talk about it. And we needed food. But also my mom was working on her spiritual life, and she was reading her Bible, and she's like, oh, because things were frustrating in our lives, and she's like, I think I need patience. So she prayed for patience. And God gave it to her. We went shopping. It was snowing. Back then, there weren't a lot of reusable bags. There weren't plastic bags. You got paper bags. And I don't know about you, but snow and paper bags and rain and water with heavy cans and food in them don't exactly hold up to the elements. And as we're walking, the bags give out. We're halfway home. The bags give out. How are we gonna deal with this? So here we are, walking down the street with piles and piles of groceries in our hands, useless wet paper bags. And my mom's like, it's because I prayed for patience. I said, well, why'd you do that? That's my go-to. Michelle still says to me, yeah, like I wanted this to happen. And I'm like, why'd you do that? So patience is something we need. God says, if it seems slow, wait for it. In chapter 2, verse 3. This is right out of the gate in this chapter. If it seems slow, wait for it. Do you love waiting for things? We are in a society right now where we can get anything so quick. Amazon, we've talked about this before. I love Amazon. I am Amazon Prime to the max. If they had a higher level of Amazon, I would want that. Because if I could just speak it into existence and Amazon, I would be all over it. I get mad when I have to wait 2 days. I'm like, what do you mean? I have Amazon Prime. It's supposed to be same day service. Same day service. But I have to wait. And I don't like it. We can get anything we want, whenever we want it, as quickly as possible. But rarely I've found that when I'm dealing with spiritual things, when I'm dealing with things in my own life, rarely have I found that God's timetable matches my timetable. And this culture really does not like slow. Just, were you driving to church today? There's some slow drivers on Sunday. And so we don't like it, but God wants us to be patient, and to be patient and wait for him. And I have to believe that if I'm waiting for him, I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good, because it's bigger than anything I could ever ask or think. And so he wants us to be patient. Fifthly, God will, in his own time, fulfill his word. He says this in this same verse 3, it will surely come, it will not delay. When you hear that, you're like, oh, so then it's going to happen. When? That's where we run into our problem. He's like, it'll happen in my time, it will not be delayed, but it will happen in my time. And so we have to recognize that. He rarely meets our expectations of what we think. What he does is he blows those out of the water and makes it even better. And so even though God answers are sometimes in the distant future, we can be sure, we can be confident that God will indeed fulfill his word and he will fulfill his promises. Despite what we perceive as delays, despite what we think in our own circumstances that are happening, because they seem to contradict. And the sixth point here is that as God's people, we must live a life that's characterized by faith. Scripture says, God declares that, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. This is not the only time where it says the righteous shall live by his faith. We need to understand that faith is believing in something that we cannot see or fully understand. And I know in this time it seems like a cop-out to say, well, just have faith and believe and believe. And you're like, yeah, but I'm going through something. In a time where things need to be answered now, it's really hard to have faith in something, especially something that doesn't check with our timeline. And so I want to encourage you this morning, live by faith, knowing that he's going to walk you through. Many times in my life, I didn't know what the next move was. I didn't know where he was taking me, didn't know where I was going. But I just believed that he was going to take care of it, and I knew it was good. Did that mean it was always a fun ride? No. And you have the same things in your own life. If you look back, in this scripture, he says, write it down. The reason why God says to the prophet, write it down, is so he doesn't forget. How many times have you walked into a store, you've been given a list, you walk into the store, you walk out, you lose the list, you don't remember what you were supposed to get? Michelle asked me many a times to go pick something up. She says, I need chocolate chips. And I came back with chocolate chip cookies. I don't know. It happens. Write it down, Mark. And when God does things in our lives, we need to write it down. We need to remember. And it's very hard to remember. My memory is getting worse and worse every day. I write things down. I have lists and lists of reminders that keep popping up on my phone because I'm like, oh, I got to remember this. I got to remember that. I have to write it down. He's telling the prophet, write this down so that you don't forget, so that you can live by faith, so you understand. Michelle has no faith in me if I don't write it down. No faith. There's many other stories she will give you where I've gone in to get something for her and I don't know what I came out with. Stuff. It sounded right. If she doesn't answer my text right away, impatience. Where are you? You told me to come here and now you're not answering my texts. And now I don't know what I'm getting, so you get chocolate chip cookies. If she says, there's very specific things in the store and I have a very hard time with it. I can't find it. She's like, it's there, Mark. I know where. It's not here. Did you ask someone? Of course I asked someone. I'm not asking someone. It's ridiculous. It's not here. So then I go to three different stores, don't ask anyone, and I still can't find it. And if the stores would stop moving their stuff around, that'd be really nice. It used to be here. It's now in a totally different section. Who's doing this? Who's organizing these places? Keep it in the same spot. Anyways, I digress. Faith is a confident outlook of trust and dependence on God while living in faithfulness to his commands. In other words, it's trusting in him in our daily walk and holding on to the truth of what Jesus has said in Scripture. What he said in the past. And not only just in Scripture, in his character. in how he's acted in the past. That is why we read this. That is why we look through this book and we study it to see his character so we can understand how he works in our lives as he's done in others in the past. Because from what I heard, he doesn't change, so this is pretty fantastic, and this is a good way of finding out what he's like. Doesn't mean we know everything about him. It means we've got a really good idea. But if you're not in this, you won't know what he's like. So what are the six principles of his character? Well, and things that he wants from us, he wants to comfort his people. He does not always act immediately. His word is true and it'll come about. We need to wait patiently. He will fulfill his will and his plan in his timing. And we're to have faith in all of that. So as we continue to look at this passage really quickly, what is our response? Well, firstly, to every situation in life, we need to trust God. We do not walk by sight, but by faith. And as we walk through our journey, we need to choose a God confidence and put our assurance in his word because we're there, and his character because of what we've learned from his word. So we're to trust God. It sounds simple, but do you truly trust him in all those things? How many times have you decided to take the bull by the horns and steer everything in your way? Because you didn't like the timing, it wasn't happening soon enough, you weren't patient, you weren't fully trusting. Does that mean everything's going to work out the way you think it will? No, there's a bigger picture, and sometimes we don't always know what that is. And so we're to acknowledge him by trusting him. The Hebrew word for acknowledge means know him. Know him. Trust him. To know God doesn't mean we know all the facts about what's going on, all the facts about him. But to know him is that we live relationally and we live trusting him. It means you work your faith like a muscle. Reading his word, meditating on it, and then listening for his voice and his direction. And you want to know a secret? I'm going to tell you a secret right now. You know it's his voice. You know it's his voice when you and your selfish desires are out of the picture. You know it's his voice when your selfish desires and your ways are out of the picture. That's hard. When that internal voice is mostly being taught in our society to focus on self, it's really hard to hear God's voice when there's all these other things going on. So when it's not all about you, that's when you know it's God's voice. We can also learn that in our response, we must not rely on our own understandings, and that really means our own perceptions and expectations. It's easy to default to worry. It's easy to default to fear and anxiety when trials come, when challenges are there in our lives, and darkness comes against us. We can just fill our minds with false narratives. Have you ever been in a relationship with anyone, whether it's a boss, a husband, a wife, a spouse, a friend, whatever it is? You don't know the story. You don't know what's going on. You know there's something weird. And how many times have you told yourself a false narrative? How many times have you told yourself a story that's not true? Or you've just assumed, you've made it up. We're really good at making up stories. Well, they don't like me because blah. You don't know if they don't like you. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they have a resting angry face. Maybe they have, I said angry. Maybe they have that. There's many things, and we fill in the gaps. And we make our own story. Why? Because we want to feel better. We feel better about ourselves. And sometimes we do that all the time. We do it at work. Well, my boss obviously doesn't think I'm good enough. So therefore, blah, because he picked that person and he must think this, 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 and this, and this. And we do that. Why? Because it feeds our ego. We've been trained from a very young age that we have to be right in every way possible. And so when we're dealing with, and we want to win, right? And so in dealing with relationships, we project that onto others. And it becomes a competition all the time. Remember in kindergarten? If you put your hand up quickest in grade 1, 2, if you put your hand up and you won, you were the smart person. The other person sitting back, like, well, I knew the answer, I just didn't get my, but, and they're rewarded, so then the next time you want to put your hand up? We're treated like, and we do this in our relationships because we want to be right. We want to be right about the feelings of the other person, so we make up these stories in our head to be right, and we justify it because of our perception. We do it in our relationship with God. God's punishing me, it must be because I'm bad, I did this, so blah. That's why he's doing this to me. We do that. And many times we do it and we haven't even read this, but we assume God is doing something to us. We haven't learned. We haven't learned his character. We don't know what he's like, but we're making up these stories. Do you know how many times when I'm rubbing shoulders with people who don't go to church or don't understand God, or maybe they've been to church and they've had a bad experience, their perception and their understanding of God is not based in Scripture. It's based in relationships with others or experiences or perceptions or things they might have heard or stories, false narratives that other people have put in their head. And we do it all the time to ourselves. We got to stop doing it. We got to stop doing that. And so we need to make sure that our perceptions and our understandings can be misplaced. Next time you're in a situation, whether it's a situation where you think it's God's fault or you think it's your boss's fault, stop and say, do I have the whole story here? Maybe I don't have all the facts of what's happening. And then ask questions to find that out before you come to that. And then work it out. But don't put a false narrative in your head that might not exist. We beat ourselves up. We beat ourselves up. You're better than that. God wants to use you. You're a child of God. Don't beat yourself up. He's going to work through you. Thirdly, we can also learn that in our response, God will direct our lives. He's going to. Scriptures, you'll hear it. He'll make your path straight. And rather than seeking clarity to know the exact path, we can choose to put our trust in God and obey his direction. How? By getting into the Word, learning his character, understanding what he wants, and having him speak to us. So, God ensures Habakkuk that the evil nation of Babylon will be judged. In the midst of this response, God also pronounces those 5 woes upon the nation, and I only did a few in there because there was a lot of woes, and you'll get it. But Habakkuk is finally coming to rest in God and knowing that his timing, God's timing, and God's ways works everything out in the end. So he writes it down, he keeps it, he holds it, and he tells everyone. And God will accomplish his ultimate purpose no matter what. And in verse 14 of this same chapter 2, for the earth will be filled with knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the highest purpose of God, displaying his glory to the world. God is always doing something. He is always at work. He is always wanting to work in your life. And he might seem slow to us, but I'll tell you right now, God will, in his own time, in his own way, fulfill what he is going to do. Grab hold of the truth that God wants to be involved in your life today. Grab hold of that truth that he loves you and cares for you. Don't feed yourself the false narratives that he doesn't want to use you, that you can't be used. You can, and you will be. Just allow him. Get to know him. Get into his word. It's so important we get into his word. And don't just get into his word. Get into his word, meditate on it, pray, and then get into a group, a life group, that will come alongside you and support you and walk with you in this. And you can walk with them because you have a unique perspective that someone else doesn't have, and they can learn from you. They can see God from a different angle. Remember, our own perceptions of God are stories we've told ourselves or what we've heard. Let's hear from someone else and hear where they're coming from. And we'll learn more and we'll grow. It's called growing. And it's a good thing. And so as we wait on God to fulfill his word, what he's planned, his plan on this earth, we must learn to put our trust and confidence in him and in him only. And do not rely on your own understanding, perceptions, or false narratives. Let's pray. Father.